You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? This is Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. My name is Greg Sussman. To my right, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. To my left, it's Wall Street Matt Modica. Gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome back, Corey.
Glad to be here. Definitely glad to be here today. Get ready to get this week started. Should be a fun week. Exciting stuff. So I already got I kicked off a couple fantasy baseball drafts. So Roto Camp in full effect right now. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. Interesting weekend with the NBA All-Star game and stuff like that. My favorite takeaway from All-Star weekend, and I said this on the program on
Devin
Saturday.
Devin
Booker. That was a good call, Matt Modica. My takeaway, my favorite, I thought the three-point was terrible and the slam dunk. My favorite takeaway was Commissioner Silva's media availability. He's a real sharp dude, and he was talking about some real interesting stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, you're exactly into it?
Well, there's a number of different things. His take on gambling, I think, is very interesting.
Yes.
I think that's something that we're going to be, that we'll see in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
His take on the NBA playoffs going to a...
Love it.
Going to the top 16.
Top 16 teams.
Top 16 teams. But he said that that's what they would like to do, but travel it would be the issue why they can't do that right now. But they're looking into different ways to go about that. He spoke about the referees and the players. He said it's not as bad as people think it is.
I kind of agree with that.
Just to jump on what Corey mentioned about gambling and stuff, this is the future. I mean, the NBA and MLB, there's a bill being proposed where they'll get like a partnership, like 1%.
That's what they want. They want 1%.
Yeah. So this is going to happen at some point. It's happening sooner than later.
What the commissioner said was that the books are saying that 1% on their end actually equals 15 to 20%. And he's like, so we don't know how true that is. We got to look into that. He also said it cost to a year's worth of NBA content cost them $7.5 billion to create.
Interesting.
So that 1% is an integrity fee, so they can make sure that the game is more, you know, that the integrity is there because people will be putting money down and stuff like that. So I found that interesting, and of course some of his takes also. He spoke about the commissioner spoke about Shut Up and Dribble and the controversy that created over the weekend.
Yeah, no, that it is a controversy, and I think everybody has the right to express whatever they want to say, and people have the right, whether it's right or wrong, to comment on it. Yeah, you know, I think sometimes we get too caught up on too many things. Let people say what they want. I honestly don't care. I'm a believer in free speech and all that. So you say what you want to say. If other people say something, you don't like it, you like it. Who cares?
There you go. Now, on the show today, we talked about that. We got a lot of baseball coming your way.
I don't believe you.
A lot, I promise you. I always start with doing some headlines. My entire first page of notes is baseball, 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 baseball. So I promise you, Matt, we have a lot of baseball to get to because shoe after shoe dropped over the weekend. Now, there's still some big free agents, but it's clear that Scott Boras realizes, listen, it's currently February 20th. I need to get some guys signed, and he's doing it one by one. It happened over the weekend. We're going to break it down, including the big two of Eric Hosmer and J.D. Martinez. That comes your way. What the hell are the Rays going to be doing? We're going to do that live on YouTube in a little bit as well. We have so much more to come. Fantasy Sports Today just getting started here on a Tuesday.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
So shoe after shoe finally dropped in Major League Baseball. Spring training has begun, and thus, players are finally starting to sign. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. Matt, which big player would you like to start with? Because this makes no difference to me.
I guess we start J.D. Martinez. He's the biggest name out there, so
all right,
I guess he's the right way
to We'll start with J.D. Martinez, and a lot to unpack with J.D. Martinez, in my opinion. So ultimately, it was a two-team race, seemingly for this entire offseason, just like it was for Eric Hosmer, a two-team race. The same held true for J.D. Martinez. All along, it seemed like it was going to be Boston, or he was going to go back to Arizona. Nobody really else was in the mix. And ultimately, it sounds like the Red Sox offered him 5 for $100. He held out, got an extra $10 million. Now it's 5 for $110 million for J.D. Martinez. He has an opt-out or a couple opt-outs in there. And nevertheless, what we can say is this year, 2018, J.D. Martinez is a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox kind of really needed to make this move, and the contract works out where he's getting like $50 million up front for the first 2 years. He can opt out after that. Look, this guy, what he was able to do last year in like less than 500 at-bats, he hit 45 home runs. Pretty amazing. He's definitely one of the best power hitters there is. He's up there with Stanton and stuff like that. You'll see the ADP definitely start to rise. He'll be a
So Boston's a better spot for him than Arizona would have been?
Look, I think he can hit home runs anywhere.
So then why is the ADP going to rise?
Well, I think it was the uncertainty of not knowing where he was going to go. Arizona, I never really bored into because they're kind of hamstrung by that Greinke contract. Much as they would love to add him, they just financially can't do it. They're looking to possibly move Patrick Corbin to kind of free up some money, too. It's a situation where I think Greinke really benefits from this humidor and the other pitchers, obviously. But they just didn't have the money. So for me, I never really bought that he was going back to Arizona. And I was kind of wondering if a team would come in and give him maybe that one-year deal where it was just like, you know, $30
million,
you know, and something like that, which Boston kind of did. They gave him the basically 2 years.
He's $50 million, yeah.
And, you know, said at 32, you can go become a free agent. So, I mean, what this guy's been able to do, he bats 300. I mean, I don't know if he's hitting 45 home runs. Can he do it? Yes. But Boston is in dire need of this. I think it's a great fit for them. They need a hitter like this. They haven't had that guy since Ortiz retired. And it's really a good fit in terms of, you know, I know he wants to play the field, but at some point in the next couple of years, he might have to just become a DH. And the American League is just like perfect. And he'd be that perfect next guy up after Big Poppy.
Okay, so he's the next guy up after Big Poppy, right in the middle of that lineup now. J.D. Martinez, how does he fit with the big wall in Fenway?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a friendly ballpark for him because of the fact that, like Matt spoke about earlier, you know, the kind of power the player has, and you bring that kind of offensive production to a, you know, to American League East. Obviously, you see a situation where he's going to be in a pretty good spot to put up some big numbers. So, definitely a win for J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at what Steamer has him projected for. I don't know if this is take. I would assume they've done it for the Red Sox, but maybe this isn't the case. But what I'm looking at right now is 33 homers, 83 runs, 99 RBIs, and a .286 batting average. I think with Boston, he's going to drive in 100 runs, you know, probably get at least score at least 90 runs. And, you know, if you can get somebody that can provide this kind of power and offense and hit, say his floor is .280 and realistically he can do .300, I mean, That's so valuable. And I know we hear how there's power late. Yeah, there's 30 home run power later on in drafts.
Yep.
But it comes at the cost of batting average. So you keep adding those guys on, you're going to start draining the batting. You better really start with a damn good floor.
You said to me off the air you regret this not happening earlier because you would have drafted J.D. Martinez in the second round. How high up to the second round in the second round does he get?
For me, I mean, you could put him. Some people are probably going to have him as a first round pick. I think definitely come next month when we go live, you'll see him go in the first round.
In the last 2 weeks, obviously he just signed yesterday. In the last 2 weeks, according to the NFBC, J.D. Martinez is number 26 overall.
Yeah, he's number 26, and he was one of the guys I was debating upon yesterday, and I went with the pitcher because I wasn't going to be picking until like pick 38. And usually by that, even that second tier is gone. And it's a draft champion, so I can't like add arms throughout the season. So I was like, you know what? I'll take the arm here. And then maybe an hour or so later, he wound up going 30th in this draft. So I think he's definitely going to be around that turn. You know, he's definitely a top 20 pick and will get taken in the first round towards the end of it.
Corey, would you rather have J.D. Martinez or Cody Bellinger?
I would rather have J.D. Martinez. I'm always wary of the one-year wonders jumping way up on draft boards the next season. It kind of frightens me a little bit. So I would kind of look to lay back to see what it is. I know Martinez, that is a more consistent player. We've seen him do it more, so I would go with J.D.
It's amazing. J.D. Martinez a couple of years ago was that one-year wonder. Came over from Houston to Detroit, goes nuts. Could he do it again? And all he did was improve year after year. Now is this consistent force.
Yeah, and that's J.D. Martinez. Yeah. Like, so, you know, Bellinger, let me see it again first.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, with Bellinger,
I'm sorry about it. Do you feel the same way about Aaron Judge then, too?
Yes.
So take J.D. Martinez ahead of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, the power for Judge is premier, though. But yeah, I would say J.D. Martinez over Aaron Judge also.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it's not even a question.
Really?
It's not even a question. And I do think he's going to hit his home runs, Judge. And like I said, I could be wrong. Look, even if he bats 260 and hits like 47 home runs, that's still very good. I'm just looking at the guys around him where I'd rather get a 300 average and have 30-plus home runs. That's, to me, more valuable at that spot if I'm going to go ahead.
Well, the one thing you do obviously have to remember with J.D. Martinez is his inability to stay healthy. The last 2 years, 120 games in 2016, 119 games here in 2017.
Yeah, no, there is the inability to stay healthy. But we've seen this guy, you know, he blossomed later. He was
absolutely.
You know, he was out there. The Astros, who everybody just says is the smartest, the franchise in baseball, they let this guy walk.
For nothing.
And at the time, you know, he'll always be my greatest waiver wire ad. I got him for $9 that first year. He went nuts.
Sure.
Right before 4th of July. And I didn't even start him that first week. And he had one of the most amazing weeks those first 4 days. But, yeah, the way I look at it is he's got pretty much, as far as a hitter goes, he has the average. If you look at him on a per-game basis last year, it's pretty insane. You look at his OPS, I mean, it's right there with Stanton, maybe even higher. So, for me, it's not a question. He's worthy of a first-round pick. I don't see him going past pick 20th going forward. And if I would have known, like, you just don't know. And in certain formats, especially like a draft champions, like even Corey Seager, I passed on him at one point last night. And I got concerns about that elbow.
Sure.
He's still not throwing. He had back problems. You know, I can't take that kind of risk in leagues where I can't be adding throughout the season.
Absolutely true. Now, J.D. Martinez gets signs ultimately with the Boston Red Sox. Arizona wasted no time in replacing J.D. Martinez, literally within a half hour. And I think it's really interesting the direction they went in. They didn't replace the power. They didn't get this thumper in the middle of the lineup. They signed Jerrod Dyson.
Yeah, but it makes sense if you're looking at what they're doing.
Talk to me.
They're installing the humidor. They're going with a pitching philosophy. They want their pitchers to be better. They're hoping that the pitchers at home, the breaking balls, were getting crushed. You look at the splits of breaking pitchers at Chase Field versus them on the road, and it's just so stark. So if you're going to go pitching heavy and install this humidor and all that, you want defense. And Dyson is a good fit here. I mean, Yomani Tomas, I've never been a Tomas guy.
Same.
It was a bad signing. Yes, he can hit 30 home runs. That's great, but, you know, what else does he do for you? Nothing. He is a major liability in the field. And as much as I love A.J. Pollock and I can't quit him, he should take a hit with the humidor. I'm still willing to draft him if he goes, you know, he gets a round discount or so. But he never stays healthy neither. So if you got a guy like that, and you could put a Dyson in there to cover that field, to cover that center field out there, I think it's a good move. I really do. I'm hoping Pollock stays healthy.
You're paying Jerrod Dyson 2 years, $7.5 million. And, you know, that's not a veteran's minimum by any means. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, but it's not a lot of money.
No, of course not. But is that fourth outfielder money is what you're saying? Because like you have AJ Pollock out there, obviously. You have Jerod Dyson. You have a lot of other outfielders that deserve playing time. I know you're not Yasmani Tomaska, but David Peralta's also out there. Guys, they want to get in the mix. I mean, this has to hurt these guys.
It could. I mean, I think if AJ Pollock's healthy, he's going to play every day. That's the bottom line.
I would agree. What about Peralta and Tomas?
Peralta will play at least the majority of the game.
So Tomas is now
Tomas
in the platoon.
Is definitely the guy, yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to Eric Hosmer in a little bit, but when we come back live on YouTube, what the hell is going on with Tampa Bay?
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Inside Studio 34, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, Matt Modica here with you. JD Martinez, a member of the Boston Red Sox. And yet, my biggest takeaway from this past weekend is what is going on in Tampa Bay. And you literally just have note after note after note after note. You talk about burning it down. It seems that Tampa Bay is doing slowly but surely, and I don't know how quickly they're building it right back up. Matt Modica. We knew Jake Odorizzi very well could get traded this offseason, and we had heard possible destinations, but they weren't getting enough, is what we were told. Well, they finally traded Jake Odorizzi away to Minnesota, of all places. They don't have money either, and yet Odorizzi goes over to Minnesota for seemingly nothing.
From what I heard, it was like their 27th ranked prospect or something. They basically gave Odorizzi away, which I'm not the biggest Jake Odorizzi guy. I've never been. But he's got value, and you could have gotten, I don't know how you couldn't got something better than what their return was. I mean, it was definitely, if you look at all the transactions that transpired this past weekend, it was all about money. And when you heard the GM tell Chris Archer about a week or two ago that you're not getting traded this year, that's just a lie.
Means nothing.
He's getting traded. I am full bore. I thought it would be the Cubs or the Dodgers that would get him. I think the Dodgers at some point pony up. He's got a very good contract. So it's not like you're getting a one-year rental. So he, in my mind, it's just a matter of time. One dude decide to move Chris Archer. He's gone. But Odorizzi, for the Twins, I like it. But if you look at it, Tampa Bay just gave him away. Then they made this trade where they got C.J. Cron. And the DFA'd Corey Dickerson.
You're going way too fast. Okay. Way too fast. Jake Odorizzi, obviously one of the best five starting pitchers now, Corey, for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay basically said, listen, we're going to trade Odorizzi away for nothing, and we're going to go to a four-man rotation. We talked about this last week with the Angels, how they go to a six-man rotation. Until May, when they needed a fifth starter, they go with this four-man rotation, and that includes Nate Eovaldi, who didn't pitch in the majors last year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the situation right here. Obviously, these are business moves financially. This team is need to figure out a way to get it done. Are they getting money from luxury tax?
They have to be.
Yes.
That's not
the
fair.
The only team I believe that kind of is not anymore is Oakland or something like that.
Really?
Oakland, there was something where they were just not being competitive. And I don't know if it's something with the luxury tax or something else. I'll look into that. But Oakland isn't getting something because they just were just non-competitive.
And that's the same thing that happens to Tampa Bay Rays right here, not the Buccaneers.
No.
The Rays, because if they're getting money for the luxury tax, and then, so they're keeping this money and dumping salary and dumping their best players, how is that fair to the rest of the teams in the majors? It's not fair to the players on this team. One thing I will, though, say is when you see moves like this, these teams do happen to perform well on the field because it takes more pressure off it, kind of playing with house money. Example being the Buffalo Bills this year. Looked like they were tanking. They ended up going to the playoffs. So it could work out in their favor because the guys are playing more loose and free. But this right here is a shame.
Well, just to hit on a point Corey just mentioned about all these teams, there's a lot of teams that have the label that they're tanking this season. So at some point, if you're one of these like middle of the road teams, I think you got to like step up, and maybe you have a better opportunity now that you have such a gut of teams that are trying to build for the future, whatever you term you want to use. So, you know, maybe a team like the Padres, if they make another move or so, isn't as far off
sure.
at maybe a wild card than was originally believed.
Sure, and I think that's fair. But when it comes to Tampa Bay, that was the first mind-numbing move to me over the weekend. Okay, maybe they prioritize this prospect more than any Austin, right? Maybe their baseball mm-hmm. people say, this guy's going to be amazing. We need to do this. Okay, fine. All right, fine. But you traded away a starting pitcher. You get a minor leaguer in single A ball. And you continue cleaning house by DFAing Corey Dickerson.
There was a reason why, though.
Talk to me.
So from what I was able to
surmise
over the weekend is, they gave him whatever. They avoided arbitration. They gave him basically $6 million.
Okay.
But in the terms of this deal, if they released him, they only have to pay him $1 million. So they're saving $5 million. It's not if they release him that they're on the hook for that $6 million, and whatever team, say, swooped in and took him, they only have to pay the league minimum. So if that's the case, I get it. I don't maybe agree with it. But if you look at the big picture here, and you're the Rays ownership and front office, you're not competing with the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm sorry. You're just not. Maybe for the first couple of months, because you have good pitching, you could stay relevant. But at some point in time, you're going to have to make that move. I just don't agree with the move that they made. I think they could have gotten more. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe they have a scout that this kid is so undervalued and he's going to be the next whatever. I don't know. And like I said, I'm not the biggest sort of Rizzy guy, but pitching, there are teams that need pitching, and they will need pitching at some point this year.
How does Odorizzi's value change in Minnesota?
Well, you don't like him moving away from the Trop because he's pitched very well there. Now, on the flip side, I mean, the home and road splits with most Tampa Bay pitchers is pretty stark. To me, if you look at the XFIP, he's always been an over 4 XFIP kind of guy. I like this in target field for a couple of reasons. The ballpark, I mean, right-handers, like Brian Dozier loves that porch in left field. For left-handers, I believe it's much tougher hitting home runs there. But the other thing you got to take into consideration is that division. Outside of facing Cleveland, that division is really bad. I mean, you got the Royals, who are going to just have a horrific offense. The Tigers, who are rebuilding. And
White Sox are rebuilding.
The White Sox, who have a good future. You know, there's a lot of swing and miss. And, I mean, at some point, does Jose Abreu get moved? I think so. So, I mean, from that aspect, I like it. They had to get a pitcher once Santana was going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Okay, so
I mean, 2 months.
So you like Odorizzi to Minnesota because the teams he's going to face, it's a good field. And but I do want to say, the Twins all of a sudden fall out of contention. Odorizzi could be traded again because that's the type of market Minnesota is. So I want to make that clear as well. But now, in Minnesota, along with Adamel Sanchez, who they signed.
I like that signing.
And you like that signing?
I do, because it's about $2.5 million. He's a guy I've taken like late 40, last few picks. Of course, look, if he's healthy, he pitched like 105 innings. He had a strikeout per inning. He gave up, I don't know how many home runs. But if he's fully healthy, it's. I would have rather the Mets gave him $2.5 million than gave Jason Vargas $16
million. Oh, absolutely.
I'm just looking at it as taking a cheap shot on a guy that, you know, if it don't work out, it's $2.5 million.
Absolutely, and I'm totally with you with that. So they DFA Corey Dickerson, do the Tampa Bay Rays, a guy that batted .282 last year, 27 homers, 84 runs scored, played in 150 games. A year before with Tampa, 24 home runs. Obviously, the batting average much, much lower. But this is a guy, Corey, that has legitimate power. He's going to find a job somewhere because he's good.
Nah, he can play, so he doesn't have anything to worry about, so he'll land with a team. It's going to be interesting to see who the suitors are, and then how that will affect his fantasy value. But real interesting to see them make a move like this with Dickerson. But Dickerson can play, and like you said, he will still be somebody that'll be contributing this year. It's just a matter of, do you get in and buy now, or do you wait to see where he lands?
Great question.
Yeah, see, the problem here with Dickerson is he's considered terrible in the field. He's kind of like he was like the raised version of Yomani Tomas. They don't want to play him in the field. That first half was phenomenal. It was like all-star worthy.
And he started DH in the all-star game.
He batted over 300, hit almost 20 home runs in the first half. Second half did not go as well. He hit maybe, I think, 10 and batted like 240. So if the way that defense is valued, and if you can't play the field, that's, and especially for a team like the Rays, it's $5 million, and for them, that's a lot of money.
Sure.
So for them, look, I'm not agreeing with it. I get it on that side. And like I said, there's just no way realistically they were going to compete with the Yankees and Red Sox. So they were going to have to start doing this at some point. They got the light bulb that came on and said, let's do it now.
Last year, interestingly enough, Corey Dickerson played 89 games as a left fielder, 54 as a DH. So that's kind of interesting, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, CJ Cron is probably finally... King Cron might actually have a chance to be somebody.
So Matt alludes to it there. The next move that the Angels then make is acquiring CJ Cron over from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for nothing. Given that Ohtani will bat 3 days a week, given that Albert Pujols will be their first baseman, Luis Valbuena is there too. CJ Cron, the odd man out. He is now the new starting first baseman for Tampa Bay. I think there's a lot to like here.
Yeah, I think he's making like league minimum. So that's why they went with CJ Cron. They didn't bring back Logan Morrison, who everybody hates as a person. And Lucas Duda they didn't even bring back.
Right.
And, you know, they went the cheap route. For what they're doing, that's the route to go. The thing is, Kevin Kiermaier has every right to be pissed off.
So he's ticked off. Yes, but that's great. But I need to talk about CJ Cron from a fantasy perspective here, okay? Because Corey Dickerson comes in and he hits a bunch of home runs. Logan Morrison comes in, he hits a bunch of home runs. Lucas Duda comes in, he hits a bunch of home runs. I don't know what's going on in Tampa Bay. We talk about it a lot with Toronto, but CJ Cron's going to come in here, play every day, and he's going to hit a bunch of home runs.
And he's
going to
do it cheaply.
I like CJ Cron from a fantasy perspective. I do. I want CJ Cron. I'm adding him to my sleeper list. Where is CJ Cron? Is he on your draft board now?
Yeah, he was on my in Draft Champions. He's been on my draft board. It's one of those guys that every year you keep going back to the well on. And all he is a cheaper version of those guys. They're looking at it as league minimum guy. We get him, and he should hit as many home runs as those guys or hit 25 to 30 home runs for what they want to do.
Would you rather have, now that you don't know where Corey Dickerson ends up, would you rather have CJ Cron or Corey Dickerson?
If Corey Dickerson was going to play every day, or if he had a spot, I would take him over Cron.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we take a break here. We come back. I have another Rays point to get to, and that involves kind of what the Diamondbacks are doing with speed. We'll discuss it when we return on FST.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
With you here on FST, and just a reminder for you, if you want to play DFS, make sure you go to Fantasy Factor, because Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA, NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Okay. Now, there was one more piece to this Tampa Bay stuff that I found really, really interesting. With Corey Dickerson gone and first base entrenched, that means, to me, left field, the outfield is now set. And that's with, in center field, you have Kevin Kiermaier. And in left field, you have Malik Smith. I like Malik Smith, Matt.
Well, you got to like Malik Smith for speed. I mean, that's the thing. If he's going to play every day, he's going to steal bases.
Correct.
I mean, you got to get on first to do that, but he'll get on enough of the time to steal a significant amount of bases. It's going to be interesting to see where his ADP goes from here, because if he's going to get the at-bats, he's going to be very fantasy relevant. Of course, you know, as we keep talking about the whole thing with speed. I mean, look, guys like Kiermaier are still on my radar. This offense takes a major hit. I mean, you're pulling out guys like Longoria, who's, look, 32 years old or whatever he is now. He's not the Longoria of old, but I think Longoria in San Francisco is going to be better than, you know, what he was last year.
Sure.
But, you know, teams are still going to score runs. So, yep. And you're still playing the American League East.
Yep.
You're playing those ballparks.
Yep.
So Kiermaier is still a guy I'm going to go after. Malik Smith is now more prominently on my radar because I know the at-bats should be there for him. Unless he gets injured, why isn't Tampa Bay going to play him?
I totally agree with that. Now, you look at Malik Smith's numbers from last year. And Smith, and Matt's right. As long as he plays every day, he's going to get on base, he's going to run. People forget that this guy's only 24 years old. And at 24 years old, last year, played 81 games with the big club, Tampa Bay. And he stole 16 bases in those 81 games. You double them up, theoretically, you would get 32 stolen bases. In the minors last year, he played 45 games, stole 21 bases. He's going to run. He batted 270 last year. The BABIP's always going to be high because, well, he's a fast dude. He strikes out a little bit too much, but it's not like he doesn't walk. He walks 8% of the time. I really like Malik Smith as a chief source of speed.
Yeah, no. Really, I mean, like you have to. Yeah, he's somebody that, you know, becomes more of a person of interest because of playing time. It was all just about
correct.
How is the playing time. You don't want Malik Smith hitting fly balls. Like what you mentioned about BABIP, you want guys like Smith to be hitting the ball on the ground and have that higher BABIP as opposed to somebody. If you know, like everybody talks about Todd Frazier.
Yeah.
Oh, his BABIP was really low this year. It's going to bounce back. It's going to regress back to the mean. But Todd Frazier is a fly ball guy. So he's going to traditionally have a lower BABIP.
Corey, Malik Smith's costing you nothing right now in drafts. He's going in the late 370s. I mean, he's going undrafted potentially. I just don't see why you wouldn't take this guy. We all talk about how badly we need speed and we're desperate for speed and nobody steals 25 bases. This dude stole 16 bases in 81 games last year. If he plays every day, sure, he's not going to have any power whatsoever. And maybe he won't score many runs because the lineup's terrible, but he's certainly going to run.
Yeah, now he has the opportunity to play. He has the opportunity to get those at-bats. Like you said, this could be something that could lead to a situation where the speed can come into play right here, where you'd be able to use this guy. But, like, he also has things that he needs to work on. And striking out over 22% of the times, you got to see him do a better job than that. You want to see him be able to use his eye, his plate discipline to get on base a little bit more. So I do think that smart money is that he'll start to rise in drafts, especially since it looks like he's going to be locked into some at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing you want from him, like Corey mentioned that, you want less strikeouts, you want more walks. You want him to get on base. And, you know, what did the Rays have to lose now? Did, you know, this guy went from, what, 370s to somebody that's going to drastically move up later on. People are going to, I'd rather draft him than the guy in Arizona, Jared Dyson.
Same, because it's an easier spot for playing time.
Yeah, right. I mean, Dyson to me is the fourth outfielder, or he's the guy that if Tomas does, say Tomas is going to start, he's going to get replaced later in games for defensive purposes. I mean, I don't think Dyson was signed to be the number three outfielder every day.
I agree, but I think Dyson, he's going to play here and there. Malik Smith, at 24 years old, is going to play every day. They're going to see what they have. It wasn't that long ago he came up with the Braves and everybody rushed to their waiver wire to go spend fab on him. It wasn't that long ago. I like Malik Smith a lot with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, no, I mean, 32 stolen bases, and what does he have here? His MLB career has 445 at-bats, and he's stolen 32 bases in that time, and under 500 plate appearances.
Now, we had said with the Rays, Corey, there's four starting pitchers right now, right? The four starting pitchers are Chris Archer, obviously, number one. Blake Snell's in there as the number two guy, and my buddy Mike Florio certainly talked about him a bunch. He's number two. You have at number three Jacob Faria, who I want to ask you about in a moment. Then you have Nathan Eovaldi, who hasn't pitched a damn inning since having Tommy John. And their fifth starter when they need him is Matt Andreese, who Matt mentioned before. The one name I didn't mention here, Matt,
is Austin Pruitt.
Is Brent Honeywell.
Well, I think this kind of delays Honeywell more than anything.
How come?
Because why rush him up? Wait, I think they're going to wait as long as possible till like June. If you're going to dump salary and all that kind of stuff, why are you going to speed up his clock? That wouldn't make sense to me. I think Honeywell's ready. Maybe he needed some disciplinary actions at the end of last year. He didn't get promoted. Not because of talent.
Sure.
That was there. That was evident. I mean, I saw him 2 years ago at the Arizona Fall League, and that screwball was pretty damn dynamic. He struck out, you know, the first three hitters in that All-Star game, one of them Gleyber Torres, and I forget the other two guys. They were top prospects as well. He did a hell of a job. So, but for me, why are they going to rush him? It's going to be guys like Farias, Snell, Archer, while he's still on this team. It makes no sense for them to hold on to Archer at this point. Anytime you hear the you're not getting traded, that means you're going to get traded anyway. That's like the vote of confidence coaches get, and then they're fired 2 weeks later. Nathan Eovaldi, I think it's, let's see what he has early on. I think he should be in the bullpen, not as a starting pitcher anymore. So, you know, guys like Faria, they got exposure last year, which is big. And he started off really well. There's things to like here. He's still a work in progress.
Well, Faria's 20. I mean, listen, he's 24 years old, had a 3.4 ERA in the American League East. I get it. Nobody wants pitchers in the AL East. But, Corey, you know, you look, Chris Archer's obviously had success in the AL East, particularly just at home, obviously. Blake Snell, people are back in on. Will you go to Tampa Bay, who do have these top younger prospects, Honeywell for you? Will you go to Tampa Bay and try to find lightning in a bottle there?
Probably off the waiver wire.
Okay.
Probably off the waiver wire. I'm not really ready to buy in yet. You don't really know what's going to be around this, the mood, the morale on this team. So I'm not really looking to buy in unless the skill set is truly dynamic, where these guys have to pitch and are likely to hit this year. I would more or less say these are more waiver wire pieces.
Fair enough. Now, I think both Faria and Honeywell have a ton of talent. And you're right. The only reason Honeywell isn't up, Matt, is because of his contract status. And you want to just delay it as long as possible. And the fact is, kid deserves to be called up. He's ready. And it'll ultimately, the Rays just want him for as long as possible. And I understand that. It's the right business decision for them. But there is talent here. When it comes to talent, it doesn't just rely on that starting rotation, but he's in the bullpen as well. As Alex Colomé is a top closer, but he's going to be gone too. On draft day, as safe as Colomé is as a closer for the Rays, if and when he gets traded, he may not be a closer anymore. How nervous does that make you to take an Alex Colomé?
I haven't taken him.
There you go.
I've been drafted for 3 months now. I haven't taken him in one draft. So he's right now, I'm not going to do it. He could very well be the closer for the Cardinals. That's great, but I'm not taking that, especially where his price is. Other guys going around where he goes, like Brad Hand, I'd rather have him. There's like no question as there. But just going back to these two pitchers, like, I mean, Blake Snell, I'm interested in. I mean, what he was able to do last season in that second half is very encouraging. And I never chase wins. Chris Archer, I would still draft. I think he takes maybe a little bit of a hit. Those strikeouts are going to be there regardless. You hope he pitches to his peripherals, which have always been much better than the ERA the last couple of years. And I'm full belief that he's getting traded to a contender.
Sure.
So that'll work out well for him. And a guy like Faria, the thing I want to see with him, I'll take the shot depending upon the price. The swinging strike rate is there. The first pitch strikes have to improve. You know, you definitely need that. I mean, 55% is not going to cut it.
Do you shy away from pitchers in the AL East, Matt?
I can't say I do. I really can't, because, I mean, I do like Dylan Bundy this year. I mean, where he goes, I'm going to have Bundy shares. Gossman's hard. I tell myself every year I'm going to swear off of Gossman, but the guy did make change. He made changes into his delivery. He made changes in his pitch usage. So, I mean, these things are real, and you saw, I'm not going to pay up. I'm not going to reach for them, but I'm not going to take them off my list.
I just feel like whenever they start, I'm not going to want to throw them out there in so many games, Yankees and Red Sox. And just,
well, just remember last year with Dylan Bundy. All you heard the first 2 years is people look at, you got to sell Bundy. You got to sell Bundy. His whatever, his FIP and ex-FIP compared to his ERA.
Right.
You got to sell him. And look, if you held on to Bundy, you got what you needed from him. And I think this year, if he can build on what he did last year, I think this is a guy that if he could pitch below that four mark. I think if he stays healthy, this could be one of the better young arms.
All right, so Dylan Bundy, a sleeper, says Matt Modica here in 2018. When we come back, we will wrap up our number one here on Fantasy Sports Today with a whole lot more baseball to come, staying in the AL East. No surprise, Troy Tulowitzki says, I don't know if we'll be ready for opening day. I could have told you that 6 months ago. More on FST coming right next.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
Here with you now, FSC Fantasy Sports Today. I want to stay in the AL East before we wrap up our number one fun hour this morning here at Fantasy Sports Today. We haven't gotten some of the biggest baseball news in the league yet. Troy Tulowitzki admitted, Corey, he may not be ready with his bruised heel for opening day.
What else is new?
Nothing.
Nothing. There Nothing. You go right there. Nothing to see here, Troy Tulowitzki. Leave him off your draft board.
Absolutely. But one guy I don't
You don't need Dr. A to tell you that.
One guy I don't want to leave off the draft board, though, is Yonhervis Solarte. I bring that up again to you, Matt. He's going to find playing time, and in Toronto, he's going to be good. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't have a problem. He has multiple eligibility in the infield and stuff. I think that was one of the better moves the Blue Jays have done. This is a team that should be following Tampa's directive and just unloading assets that they have. Look, their pitching staff is a bit underrated, though.
Speaking of their pitching staff, Marco Estrada, who's always the fantasy conundrum every year, finally went off the rails last year, and he worked on his changeup during the offseason and said, listen, this is my bread and butter. I have to get back to it. And are you going back to Marco Estrada?
No, I'm not a Marco Estrada guy. He said there were some issues. I think he had a medical thing where he couldn't sleep or something like that.
Okay.
Or sleep apnea. I don't know the whole thing.
Okay.
And it was his changeup and stuff. That is his, like you said, that's his money pitch. If you don't have that.
He has nothing.
But he's the one guy that I'm not. The top three guys, though, I do like. Marcus Stroman does not get enough credit. And he lost his arbitration case, which I don't like the arbitration process
Stupid.
In any sport. Which you're basically beating up your player.
Your own player, yeah.
You know, they did it in hockey with the Rangers. I remember there was a couple of players, and it gets kind of nasty. And he even said it, like the things my team said about me. I don't think this is a good way to go about it. So, but I mean, Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, I think he's going to start moving up a little. This is a good pitcher. It was blisters. It wasn't like an elbow injury
right.
or a forearm strain
yep.
that you know stifled him last year. And J.A. Happ. Look, I've been a Happ guy. I've consistently tweeted out stuff. I saw other fantasy phenom Frank Stanfield doing some J.A. Happ love yesterday. I appreciated that. Gave him a thumbs up. So those three guys right there, I do like. Jaime Garcia, look, for what they got him for, fine.
Sure,
but I'm never
sure.
a Jaime Garcia kind of guy.
Greg, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Why do you like Solarte?
Why do I like Solarte? Because I think he has a power potential. I think in Toronto, people always find this power, the multi-position eligibility. He's going to play anywhere in the infield, the corner infielder, middle infielder. He's going to have all this ability. And
he's never hit more than 18 home runs.
But he's never played in Toronto. Okay. The old guys always find spots in Toronto. He comes up with the Yankees, gets traded to San Diego, and he played in San Diego, had major family issues. He's taking care of all his kids. There's an issue with his wife. I don't know if she passed away or whatnot, okay. But now in Toronto, it's a good spot for him.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got the AL East Parks. I mean, he doesn't have Coors Field anymore, but he has Coors East and Camden Yards. You got Yankee Stadium. You got Fenway. You know, so I like it because, first off, can Devin Travis ever stay healthy? I don't know if that's true. I mean, everybody's always going to take a flyer on
him.
I'm
not doing that. Yeah, I'm not doing the Devin Travis.
And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but... So Larte's going to get some playing time. If you look at the roadblocks, it's Travis. It's, Tulowitzki, we already know, is not ready for
the already gone.
Yeah. Alzamani Diaz.
Sure.
He was a, you know, guy that had a great run that first year.
Sure.
Petered out, got traded. And Josh Donaldson wanted to stay healthy.
Stay on the team.
Stay on the team. I mean, this seems, to me, the guy they got to move.
Absolutely. Now, one more AL East note before the top of the hour. And you mentioned Dylan Bundy. You mentioned Kevin Gausman. You didn't mention Chris Tillman, who re-signed with Baltimore over the weekend. I think that sound was all you needed to hear right there.
I like Jordan Montgomery, though.
I like Jordan Montgomery a lot. We take a break here. When we come back, we hit the top. We got some Olympics coverage coming your way, and then a whole lot more baseball, including Eric Hosmer to San Diego. Stick around. More coming your way after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Today on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. I got to bring this up to you guys, specifically you, Corey. Did you see who won the Daytona 500?
Oh, our guy won it.
Austin Dillon!
Our guy, Austin Dillon, won the Daytona 500.
I couldn't believe it!
Yeah,
real Black Panther.
Yeah. Shout out to Austin Dillon. Good job for Austin Dillon taking down the Daytona 500. I'm proud of him.
I was so I'm sitting there. This is Sunday, the Daytona 500, right? So I'm sitting there. I got the All-Star game on or whatnot, ESPN, it's something on, right? And then it comes across the screen. Daytona 500 winner Austin Dillon. I'm like, wait a minute! That's the guy who's been in this studio many times!
Yeah, he certainly has been. So, but then when I saw that, I was very happy for him.
And I was so happy I texted Scott!
Yeah. Did he text you back?
Yes!
Or did he call you?
No, he texted.
Okay, that's cool.
I was shocked.
Yeah, that's shocking also.
But he Austin Dillon was so pumped, went and got a tattoo afterwards.
Scott probably got one too.
Say, I totally agree.
No, but shout out to Austin Dillon. That was a good takedown right there, winning his first Daytona 500. He's flirted with this for a couple years now, so good luck to him.
I think, if I remember correctly, he only led like two laps the entire Daytona 500, but that's all you need to win. It's just the last lap.
That's the one you need to win.
That was awesome. So Austin Dillon, awesome dude, huge Carolina Panthers fan.
Yep, fantasy player.
Big fantasy player, good friends with the King, Scott Engel. And I mean that, like, I know Scott says he's friends with a lot of people, but like, Austin Dillon's a dude that's been in the studio a lot. I know, I've seen him and Scott talk on the phone. He's been on the Hall of Fame hour before. He's a great, great guy. We've met his wife, we've met his brother. He's awesome, man.
Question, did Scott predict him to win?
Probably not.
Well, I shouldn't even say Scott. I'll take
young
Sean's
angle. Yeah.
I'll go with the young angle.
I don't know who the young angle had.
I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but I'm just very impressed that I couldn't believe it.
I'm happy for him.
Really happy for Austin Dillon.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. Danica Patrick didn't finish, right?
Danica Patrick, despite Aaron Rodgers being in the house, Danica Patrick didn't finish her final Daytona 500.
Congratulations to her career.
Hey, look, she got a lot out of it.
Yeah, I mean, she became famous, right? She became famous, and I think that was pretty good. So there you go. Danica Patrick doesn't finish. Austin Dillon, your winner at the Daytona 500. Of course, your top story today, J.D. Martinez, now a member of the Boston Red Sox. He'll DH for them. We didn't talk about this last hour. What does that do to Hanley Ramirez?
I mean, look, the Red Sox do not want Hanley yet. I think there's a certain amount of at-bats or plate appearances that trigger that $22 million for next year. They do not want that to happen.
No.
So he should be a platoon with him and... the left-handed bat.
Mitch Moreland,
thank you.
So it'll be clearly a platoon. He's not on the right side of that platoon.
He's not. Look, I mean, Hanley's a late pick for me at best.
Yeah, I'm probably out on Hanley also. I know he's gotten tried to do that shoulder in shape to play a lot of first base, but as we just said, he's not on the right side of the platoon. Obviously, J.D. Martinez, your everyday DH. Sorry, Hanley. There you go. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll check in on the Olympics. Matt's got a lot. He's been going off all morning, and I've been afraid to tell him. I have no idea what he's talking about. So he'll try to explain it to you live on television. When we come back, your Olympic update is next on FST.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
This is like the national anthem version of Hulk Hogan's theme song.
I saw like the last 40 minutes of Rocky III over the weekend. I got to say, Mr. T was phenomenal. Him and Carl Weathers were just phenomenal in that movie. You forget how good they were.
Rocky III is one of my lower-ranked Rockies. Yes. I may have to see that one again.
No, I mean, for me, Rocky I and even II, you know, they just get more comical as they go. Like, Rocky IV is... comically good. Like, sure. To watch that, sure. You know, I must break you and all that kind of stuff.
Remember, every 3 minutes an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of the patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to DKMS.org/FNTSY today and sign up online to register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them. That's it. You're done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you can actually save someone's life. Not metaphorically, but quite literally. Check out DKMS.org/FNTSY to see how you can help. The Olympic update, Matt. What did you watch this weekend?
Well, let's start
from the beginning. Start
from last night. Team USA in hockey advanced.
No, to what round?
Now it's that was the qualifying round. That they had the initial first round, and they had to win or they were going home. And I forget the final was like 4-1 or something like that.
Nice.
Donato had two goals. His dad had played, I believe, in the 1988 Olympics. So that was good to see that USA is still alive in hockey. And the women's hockey is going to be a must watch. I don't know if it's Wednesday or something. They're going to play Canada for the gold. So shout out to
women's hockey teams. And they should be.
USA Canada is like this
huge
epic rivalry.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last Olympics was overtime. It was the time.
Yes, sir. And then we actually had a U.S. women's hockey player give an interview to us here at FNTSY on last Friday.
No, I didn't know that.
Mike Blewett talked to her.
Is she an Olympian?
I mean, she is a gold medal Olympian.
Okay,
from Nagano.
So she called in from Korea.
She's from Nagano. It's in Japan, 1998.
Oh, she's not on this team.
No, she won the gold medal in 1998.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah, so I wanted to start with that. I mean, I do love the downhill skiing and all that stuff. I've never done it. I mean, I've gone skiing a couple times, but never like at a really advanced kind of level. But that just seems like such an exhilarating thing to do. That girl, I forget where she's from, but she was like a snowboarder, and she started doing like downhill recently. And she won a gold medal, which is like pretty phenomenal.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting. I do hope Michaela can win the gold in the combined.
Yes, combined. Yes. Mm-hmm.
She didn't win the gold in her number one. She has a gold medal.
She has it from winning the slalom, and I think the giant slalom. One of the two she won. The other one was her best that she did not win.
Yeah, so she finished fourth, but she's one of the favorites in the combined. Lindsey Vonn, I'm going to root for her. She, pretty much, I found it interesting what she does in these trial runs. They get like three trial runs. So the first day they did it, she had the best time. And then the second time she did it, as she was approaching the finish line, she kind of held up because she said she didn't want to be the best time all the time. And then she did the same thing yesterday. And the final run, I think it's tomorrow, or maybe it's tonight in prime time. So I'm definitely going to be watching that.
women's figure skating tonight as well.
Yeah, no, I am very interested in seeing my girl Medvedeva. Well, that performance she put on totally mesmerized me. I thought that was just fantastic.
Speaking of mesmerizing, I know you're not super into the ice dance, and you said you can't get into it, but this the Canadian couple of Tessa Virtue and Scott Moore, they're incredible.
But I heard they got the highest score ever.
Yeah.
So, hey, you look. I only events I really can't get into is curling. I know a lot of people like curling. I just can't do it. That the ice dancing, look, I watch women's and men's figure skating. The ice dancing just don't do it for me. The biathlon's been something I've been watching.
Yeah.
That was an epic finish. It was a photo finish. It was pretty great.
Why don't you describe it to me like you described it during the break? Because it was awesome.
Yeah, the French guy is like the best in the world, and he was the favorite. And I guess the last two Olympics he's had, he got silver. I think one of them might have been a photo finish that he lost on a photo finish or something close like that. And he, I guess, fell in this race. He missed a couple of shots, but he had the lead going down that home stretch, and the German athlete was just really moving, and he was like on his heels, and you showed him as they got to the finish line. It was a photo finish where you stretched out, and the French guy looked like he put his leg out first, but kind of like fell and stumbled over the line. And I thought it was just pretty cool that you saw an actual photo finish where it was kind of like inches. The gold medal was decided by inches. The French athlete thought he lost because he kind of fell awkwardly, slammed his ski stick and all that. But he won. Just barely. He held on. I don't know. I found it exciting. I mean, like I said, once again, these are sports I'm never really going to watch. Except for every 4 years, and you're watching these people that have basically spent the last 4 years of their life every day training to get here and, you know, hopefully do that. And last night, the two-man bobsled, a tie with the gold medal. That was a pretty fantastic finish. Team Canada, it looked like they were going to win it and take it from one of the German teams. They had like three or four teams in there, Germany. And it ended in a tie, and the German team was stoked as well. They went running over to Team Canada, and the driver from Team Canada was like, I thought we won, but when I saw the Germans over here so excited, I assumed maybe it was a tie, excuse me.
Drink some coffee, man.
Yeah.
Drink some coffee. A lot of fun going on in the Olympics there, Corey. Matt said it before. The U.S. men's hockey team advanced to the quarters. No professionals on that team, or no current professionals. But you look at it, like the Russians with Ilya Kovalchuk on it. The U.S., amazing they're still in it. Well, amazing, yeah. I guess you kind of expected. But.
Well, no. Shout out to the U.S. hockey team. Do you believe in miracles?
There you go. Al Michaels.
Who?
Al Michaels.
The U.S. hockey team.
Well, Al Michaels is the guy.
I know
that
he was the call, but he wasn't on the field.
No, he
on the ice. Excuse me,
yeah,
no
ice.
Field.
Yeah, no.
That's field hockey.
Yes, that's a different sport. It's a Summer Olympics.
Summer Olympics. Correct.
It's field hockey.
No, you can't have field hockey in Iceland.
Did you know that the band OAR is receiving a massive bump this Olympics
because of the Russian thing?
Yeah.
That's wild.
He's pumped, this guy.
He should be.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
All this notoriety for this band.
He should start taking steroids.
How about that story, Corey? The Russian curler failed two doping tests.
A curler?
Curler.
Is doping? We gotta do better, people. It might just be something in the water out there.
Like, what do you accomplish?
I have no idea. I thought that was an amazing story to come out. Like, didn't they say to the Russian athletes, if you behave or something, at the closing ceremony, they'll let you?
And now the Norwegian dude or the Russian beating curling is like, this is BS. I want my medal.
Yeah, no. Look, if he failed these tests, he's got to get the medal stripped. And I think that's been proven.
I did want to ask you guys this story when it came to the Olympics. And that was about Adam Rippon, your boy Adam Rippon, right? So he performed. He did his free skate. I think it was like Friday night, I want to say. Maybe Thursday night. This is free skate. His final performance. Doesn't medal and whatever. But he's become certainly a story for the Americans this Olympics. NBC offers him a job to be a special correspondent to do whatever.
Yeah.
The rest of the Olympics. He immediately said yes and then turned him down. Because if he accepted the job with NBC, he was no longer an amateur.
Yeah, he's no longer an amateur.
So he had to not only move out of the Olympic Village, but he couldn't walk in the closing ceremonies with Team USA.
Yeah.
He was essentially no longer Olympian because he had a job with NBC. So he then decided, you know what? I'm good. What do you think of Adam Rippon turning down the money to work for NBC to stay as an Olympian?
I mean, no, that's a good thing to do. Very noble of him. So, I mean, obviously he wants to go out there to be an Olympic athlete. So he turns down that opportunity. I'd have been like, I'll let you. NBC.
Guy gave his all throughout the Olympics, yes, and all that. He was never expected to medal or anything like that.
No,
so
not.
Now I get that he wants to stay in the village and walk in the closing ceremony, but for a career move, I think he should have took it.
Yeah, take the
agree.
Money.
Yeah, I agree.
I would go
it's very
visit
hard.
Olympic Village.
It's very hard, right? Leaving the Olympic Village, I get it, and not being able to walk in the closing ceremonies, but it's hard to do this to look at your long term future right now. But in 4 years, you're not going to be back in the Olympics because you're not good enough, in all honesty. And this is your chance. Get on NBC. Make your mark, kind of like Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir have done. And then you're in this seat forever. And yeah. You're making money forever.
Yeah, I mean, Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir do like every
event.
Yeah, every event.
Anything NBC has, they're there.
And even like non-events. They had like Korean hip-hop music or Korean pop. Excuse me, K-pop, I think it's called.
It is. You have Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski at the Kentucky Derby. You have them at the Super Bowl mm-hmm. every year. And they made their mark. And that could have been Adam Rippon. And he decided to stay as an amateur instead. All the credit in the world to him. Not sure that was the smartest decision, though.
Trash Tanya would have took the money.
Trash Tanya would have taken the money.
Damn Skippy.
You know who also took the money? Eric Hosmer. We'll discuss him signing with San Diego when we come back here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
It never gets old.
All right, everyone. Two truths, one lie.
I was going to be on The Real World. I play the oboe, and I saved a kid's life.
You definitely never saved a kid's life.
I'm serious. Last summer, I donated bone marrow to a kid who had leukemia.
Saving a life. The truth is, it's easier than you think. Learn how at DKMS.org.
Who knew we were living with a hero?
A hero who plays the oboe.
Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. JD Martinez, we've discussed a lot about in hour number one. So it only makes sense to get into Eric Hosmer here in hour number two of FST. Eric Hosmer signs the big money deal, 8 years with the San Diego Padres, who, of course, had a first baseman in Will Myers. He now shifts to right field, which means Eric Hosmer, your new starting first baseman in San Diego.
Caught myself there. Look, when you hear 8 years, you're like, hey, Eric Hosmer just got a lifetime contract to play for the Padres.
Yep.
Good for him.
Yep.
There is a out clause. It's more heavily loaded in the front end.
Yep.
I look at this more like the Jason Worth kind of deal when the Nationals needed to sign a free agent.
Sure.
And get some people to come there. I don't hate it as much as everybody else hates it. Look, I mean, money's out there. He's going to get paid. I'm not shying away from him in draft. And I'm not a Hosmer guy. He's not somebody that I really ever draft. But he's on a couple of my teams this year.
Yeah.
He actually found his way on there. Because I do think he is a guy that is a 280 floor, more like that. Possibly, you know, another 300 season with the bat again. Much better him in San Diego with that lineup than in Kansas City. That was going to be awful. So, if you know, I think it helps his fantasy stock going to the Padres and staying safe. The Royals would have re-signed him there. I know that ground ball percentage is insane, but the guy's hit 25 homers the last 2 years. I think I have him right now. Let's see, 23 homers. I don't know. I think 20 is more realistically. This is what the numbers spit out. 85 runs, 90 RBIs, and a .292 batting average. I tweeted out yesterday, 11 players hit at least 20 homers, scored at least 80 runs, drove in 90 RBI, and batted at least .290. 11 players. Hosmer was one of them. I don't think the batting average is just all of a sudden going to crater. If you look at the home run spray chart, I think Darren Williams, I think it was him who posted it the other day, he hits it to all fields. So it's not like, I know left-handed power to right, it's in Petco, takes a hit. It's not the Petco when it first opened. That said, I'm not buying he gets a 25. I would think 20 or right around there. If he hits 18 homers, gets me 85 runs at 90-plus RBIs, with that average and steals a half a dozen bases, I'm fine with that. You know, average, you know, is a hard commodity to come by. Everybody, you know, talks about power and speed, but average is a hard, and he's going to be in a spot in the lineup where he's just going to, as long as he's healthy and gets the at-bats, he's going to drive in the runs. So, I think there's stuff, you're not, if you're drafting Eric Hosmer, you're not signing Eric Hosmer to an 8-year deal.
Right.
So, you know,
that's a good point.
I'm hearing a lot of negativity about him. I hope he falls a little further. I'll gladly scoop him up. Like, if you can combine an Eric Hosmer and a Joey Gallo, say, on one of those turns, I really like that. Because you're getting a .290/.300 hitter with hopefully a .230/.240 hitter. And, you know, just everything you would want. That creation right there, to me, gives you a lot.
Corey, here's the deal with Eric Hosmer. Welcome back.
I've been here.
Oh, okay. So Eric Hosmer, 18 home runs 2015, 25 last year, 25 2 years ago. So you know you're getting this 25 home runs. He's entered his prime. Now, he's not going to be this 40 home run dude ever. I mean,
that's not his game.
It's never going to happen. It's the average that you're concerned about from a fantasy perspective. Last year, he batted .318 with an OBP of .385. Fantastic.
Yeah,
obviously.
We like that.
Year before, .266 average with a .328 OBP. No, he wasn't.
How you know?
Because he played 158 games.
All right, but something was bothering him. That's why the batting average dipped.
Well, the year before was .297, which is very good.
Yep.
The year before that was .270.
Yep.
That's kind of like .266.
Kind of on and off of what you do see
year after year. What Eric Hosmer is the real dude.
But he's improving every year. When you look at some of the things, his walk rate continues to go up while his strikeouts continue to go down year after year.
Yeah.
So he's an improving hitter. Listen, I think you still can. People are going to look at the shift to the Padres. That, you know, that's a team that's not really known for offense. And he's going to be discounted on draft day. But Matt makes an excellent point. You like that batting average up around .300. Not to mention the fact this guy plays 155-plus games each and every season for the most part. Don't forget about durability, how important that is. Now, listen, back a couple years ago, he would steal you at least 10 bases a year, something
not
like
anymore.
That.
Yeah.
Not going to do that no more. But he's going to hit .300. Like Matt said, he'll drive in those. He'll give you those RBIs. It's very important to your fantasy team. And then I still think he can hit 25 home runs. It's not like he was playing in Baltimore. He was playing in Kansas City.
Sure.
Kansas City's a big ballpark, too. So mm-hmm. I think Eric Hosmer is a nice move. And if you get a discount for him on draft day because of the ballpark factor, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's going to just keep harping on the ground ball percentage. I like Christian Yelich a lot, and his ground ball percentage is pretty ugly as well. Maybe with Hosmer in this lineup with Myers, maybe you start seeing some even more double steals and stuff like that. You got Manny Margot. I'd like to see Corey Spangenberg get one of these infield positions, you know, second, third base. I'm so done with Chase Headley. I understand why the Padres did that trade. They wanted Brian Mitchell, so they took him on that Headley contract. The interesting question here is the other outfield position, which is Hunter Renfro going to get that position? Will he get moved?
Right.
A guy I did want to see get at-bats this year in the outfield is Frenchie Cordero. I don't know. That's, you know, going to move him down the pecking order as of now. But I think he's got some tools I'd like to see out there. And they got one of their prospects, Fernando Tatis Jr., is just a baby, but he's one of the most sought-after prospects in baseball.
Yeah, and that, so that's kind of the deal of the long-term future with the Padres. But again, we're not signing eight-year deals with them. We're signing 1 year, and that's where Eric Hosmer could be of service to you. But Eric Hosmer with the Padres, what happens now to the Royals? You're really interested.
I'm chilling. I'm listening to everything you say.
Backing into the... I feel like you're sitting here.
You're talking about the damn Royals. Let's go.
Let's talk about the damn Royals. Yeah. At first base, the only first baseman on this team right now is some dude named Hunter Dozier.
No, I'm not familiar with him.
He's a pro, he's a, he was a...
Talk to me about Hunter Dozier, Matt.
Yeah, he's a prospect that, you know, this team's been waiting on. Him and I'm trying to think of the other guy, Bubba Starling.
Sure.
Dozier's a guy that...
That was coming. That was a lock.
Yep.
Look, I mean, Dozier should get the opportunity here. I mean, this team... they had their run. Their run is over.
Yep.
So it's all about building. Let all these prospects and stuff... I don't get what they did last year. I mean, I get giving Salvador Perez a new contract because he earned it, but there really was no need to do it. But whatever. I mean, you're going to see guys like Jorge Soler get a legitimate shot this year.
For sure.
It seems like, you know, he's sore. He had to make significant changes, and, you know, he's pretty much playing for his career now. So he's an interesting dude late on in drafts. I don't know why they brought back Alcides Escobar. That's a head scratcher. Whit Merrifield, I'm suspect on a lot of things. He should have the opportunity just to run wild. And he had a pretty good stolen base percentage up until September, where he had 14 attempts and was successful 8 out of 14, which isn't as good.
Nope.
But on this team, I think the opportunity is going to be there. I do want to see Raul Mondesi get a legitimate shot here, and maybe they move him to center field. And
possible.
You know, I mean, Pablo Orlando should not be a guy.
Pablo Orlando is not somebody that's going to hold them back. Yeah. I agree. You're going to get your young guys in there. That's why I like Hunter Dozier at first base. That's why I think Raul Mondesi will get a shot, whether it's at second base or third base or center field, right? So for those that had concerns about a Whit Merrifield potentially, he's too talented at this point to be taken out.
You know what really hurt this team is it's not the Perez contract. Perez has earned that money. But it's when they won and a guy who... You know, was a staple on this team, like Alex Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, the Patriots will say goodbye. You'll win the championship with them, and they have no problem moving on from you if that's the right move. And even though Alex Gordon could have been Mr. Royal, it wasn't the right move to give him that deal, especially on a team like this that needs to be so frugal with their money, you know.
Sure.
So that's really kind of hamstrung them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see if they can replace Hosmer. That doesn't sound like, they were in on Hosmer till the end. It doesn't sound like that's the case when it comes to someone like Mike Moustakas, who they're at this point, there's no reason to sign him. You let him walk, and you got to rebuild. Corey, what do you think of the decision the Royals made not to trade any of these guys, but to go for it one last time last year?
I mean, listen, it was worth a shot. So, you know, one last shot, you know, see what happens, you know, do it for the fan base. Didn't work out. Now it's time to start seeing these guys leaving free agency. So you're going to see a massive rebuild here.
I think a team like the Royals had to at least go for it. I think they had to. Unless they were blown away by a deal, they had to. That was their final shot at it. Make the run. Like I said, I just don't understand why Alcides Escobar is back on this team. That to me doesn't make any sense. And if I'm the Yankees, I give Moustakas one of these like 1 year deals, or even a 2 year like front loaded. Why not? I mean, it just makes too much sense. Just go all.
Sure.
You're pretty much there.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a ballpark that was built for that guy.
Definitely. And you've been saying that obviously all offseason, despite your best wishes of that not happening.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Todd Frazier's a Met.
Matt's very pleased how the Mets spent their money this offseason.
Anybody can spend money. It's spending money wisely.
Yeah, there you go. Eric Hosmer, what's really interesting here is their best player is a first baseman, and that's Will Myers. Him in right field doesn't project so well.
Look, I think this is a team that just needs it. And look, Myers and him, at least that's something in the middle of the order. Margot I like a lot.
He'll still have his first base eligibility this year, right?
Yes, he will. Okay. Yes, he will. All right, we're going to take a break. A lot more baseball and on this day in history coming up next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
We're back here on FSD, Fantasy Sports Today. OT, of course, comes up next hour.
This is definitely a Sussman jam.
I do like this song a lot. I just want to remind you guys before we continue that you can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft fantasy league using Fantrax's free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary and contract options at your fingertips, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasury, you can set league entry fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment. The best part is there's no break in the action. Once the regular season ends, Fantrax leagues are immediately open for the next season. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports and check out Fantrax.com today. Enter promo code AL. That's right. It's AL for our buddy Al Melchior at sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with our fantasy baseball hour host, Al Melchior. That's $109 value when you use the promo code AL at checkout. There you go. Now, I was looking at San Diego, and I was looking at some potential sleepers. You talked about pitching and maybe them trading for pitching. And there's one sleeper. Yes.
Had to use the boys' room.
Okay. There's one sleeper that people have been talking about for years from Kansas City that now is a member of San Diego. Will he make the rotation? Will he not? I don't know. But people sure as heck love Matt Strom, Matt Modica.
Yeah, if he's healthy and all that, you know, he's worth a shot here. It's San Diego. You got to love the ballpark. You know, Lamet is the guy that...
Everyone talking about Dinelson Lamet, yeah, sure.
He's definitely the guy I want to target here. Brian Mitchell could be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on him. At least, you know, somebody to stream at home starts, it looks like. And we can build upon from there, see how things go. But, I mean, the Padres at this point, it's a team that, let's see what happens. I don't think they have enough pitching, number one. So I love the bullpen.
What makes me like a dude like Matt Strom is there's basically 10 guys for five spots, right? There's nobody locked into a spot in this rotation for San Diego. People love the Nelson Lamet. They traded for Brian Mitchell. So maybe those two guys are. But you got, like, Clayton Richard, Luis Perdomo, Robbie Eflin, Colin Rhea, like...
Yeah,
if Matt Strom pitches well this spring, he's going to get in there.
You look at, I mean, I'm not saying that the top four are foursome by any means, but just look at the names you mentioned, Erlen, Ray, Lyles. I'll take my chances on Matt Strom's upside 100%. Over all those anytime. Just he's got to be healthy.
100%. I also look at this bullpen, and you mentioned Brad Hand, where he's going. I feel like he's kind of safe, too, right now as a closer.
Yeah, no, he got that three-year deal, which makes you feel good. I mean, peripherally, I love this guy. I always seem to just miss him. I mean, I'm usually getting a Chapman. I like his price. A Chapman or like a Rivero. And I always try to get him. And I keep missing him by sure. Like one or two picks.
Yeah.
But I think he's one of the guys that, say, in that eighth round or so, you may even have to pay a little higher depending upon the format. I mean, I'm doing it in formats where there's overalls. That's the only time I'm really going to pay for closes, otherwise I'll wait on them. But somebody, say, in a regular 12-teamer where he'll probably go even later, and I say I don't have a closer, I'm totally cool starting with him.
Ian Desmond told us, Corey, that he's primarily playing left field thus far in early spring training. Now, I'm an Ian Desmond guy this year. I've been on record of saying that. But if he's playing a lot of left field, that's going to open up first base for Ryan McMahon, or they'll sign Mark Reynolds or Carlos Gonzalez or something like that to play first base. Whoever that first baseman is in Colorado, I have to imagine you're interested.
Well, yeah, obviously you look at the ballpark factor and what that does to the Colorado player. If it's a guy like Mark Reynolds, you know what kind of power he has. You put him in that environment, so that hits. So, yeah, it's a dollar make you holler guy a little bit. Well, I don't want to say dollar make you holler when you talk baseball because it's probably not going to be a real dollar. But he's a guy that you can probably get a little bit later on in your draft as a corner infielder and could hit.
Yeah, I mean, McMahon's got to be a person of interest if he's going to be pretty much the everyday starting first baseman. Was a big prospect a couple of years ago, had a down year, put himself right back on the map. And if you're going to be getting the at-bats at Coors Field, you know, he's got power, he's playing in that park. You have to be interested.
Yeah, I don't know if my Ian Desmond stuff is overrated because he strikes out a lot, but I like Ian Desmond, man. I really do.
Ian Desmond, I'm not the biggest Ian Desmond guy, but you have to like Ian Desmond. If he's going to get, you know, the playing time, he's got power, he's got speed. The batting average should get a bump from Coors Field.
Theoretically.
So that should help him. It was kind of a lost season for him last year. Mm-hmm. They seemed committed to play him. So I'm kind of hoping that if he's going to play the outfield, it's going to be him, Blackman, and David Dahl. Needs to impress in spring training. I do want David Dahl getting at bats. He's a guy I've been taking in my drafts over these past couple of months. I just think everybody loved this guy last year. They were taking him in the sixth round of 15-team draft.
Yep.
He was going in the sixth round. Yep. He was going like four or five rounds ahead of Benintendi. Benintendi was a guy I was taking because I thought they were similar, but you were getting him at such a cheaper price. And if he's healthy, he's going to play.
Right.
And he's still in the same skills.
Right now, that outfield, Ian Desmond, Charlie Blackman, and penciled in there is Gerardo Parra as the third outfielder there with David Dahl, Tapia as well, backups there. So there is some outfield depth right now in Colorado.
If Dahl hits in the spring and he's healthy, David Dahl will be in that lineup. And they could always, you know, look, Gerardo Parra has value. I mean, he definitely does. He's proven that. He is a good player. But if David Dahl is healthy and hitting in spring training, he will be in that lineup. They can always move around Desmond, put him in the infield, play him at first base, need be, and stuff like that. So, I mean, Dahl's kind of a guy. He's one of those guys later on in drafts. I'm going to target a David Dahl for upside, a Dustin Fowler for upside. A guy who I target for floor and is not sexy at all for the outfield. I mean, I don't know how I got onto this. But
it's kind of what you do.
Is a Kevin Pillar. Just a guy that's going to steal your bases, hit double-digit homers, and play every day. So just, I don't know.
All right. Let me get into On This Day in History, Corey. Maybe this will excite you a little bit.
I'm excited now.
All right. In 1963, Willie Mays signed the richest contract in baseball. We keep doing these, right? And seeing how it goes up. 100 grand he signed for.
Oh, wow. Look at Willie Mays. Got that $100,000 bag.
Got the bag.
Nowadays, somebody would be like, Jack, I'm not even coming out. You better get that money to somebody else.
Yeah, shout out to Willie Mays and the Say Hey Chicken. That's still one of my favorites.
All right. Also on this day in history, 1986, Mike Tyson sexually harassed a woman in New York.
Was accused of sexually harassing a woman. We do not know if that is true.
Okay.
Do not be like the fake news media.
I'm just reading what I have. Yeah.
That was Indiana, I thought.
I believe this was in New York, actually.
I thought he went to prison for the thing that happened in Indiana.
He went to prison for Indiana,
right.
Nothing in New York.
Nothing in New York, okay. Accused.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. So mm-hmm. 30 years ago today, the Winter Olympics were happening, right? In 1988. And there's a gold medal winner in the men's figure skating. Does anyone know who that was?
Brian Boitano?
Hit it.
What Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do. That's what Brian Boitano do.
One of the greatest commercials I've ever seen. I was totally hungover at the Mondrian in L.A. Me and a couple of friends. It was a very late night. It was afternoon. And Jack in the Box would have these commercials. And they had the Jack in the Box character with the big head and the little cone hat. He's in a lake in a canoe with Brian Boitano and Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, God.
It was phenomenal. That's all I gotta say.
I remember that with that What Would Brian Boitano Do joint from all that song. That was funny. I didn't that
South
was
Park.
South Park, yeah. So that was cool. That was a lot of fun right there. So shout out to Brian Boitano on his anniversary.
The gold medal. On the gold medal 30 years ago today.
In figure skating, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would Brian Boitano do?
What would Brian Boitano do?
What
would Double B do?
You know who also won an Olympic gold medal in figure skating 20 years ago today?
What's the lady name? Little short lady.
Michelle Kwan?
She's a gymnast.
Michelle Kwan never won the gold medal.
She never won
the
gold
medal. Today, she won the silver medal and finished second to this person.
That's too long ago. I want to say Oksana Baiul, but that's not right.
Tara Lipinski,
that's right.
Tara Lipinski. Doing a fantastic job in the Olympics for NBC with her buddy Johnny Weir. Look, there's some birthdays.
She's a broadcaster now?
Two of them. We talked about this earlier in the show.
I think Oksana Baiul was
literally about 15 minutes ago.
I wasn't keeping up with that part. I was listening out for the baseball stuff.
A lot of happy birthdays today. Some really good ones. 1983, Justin Verlander was born. Happy birthday,
to JV.
Justin Verlander still getting it done.
I wonder what kid's getting for his birthday.
I wonder that as well. 1977, going backwards in time. Happy birthday to Starberry.
Stephon Marbury, one of the greatest Chinese basketball players ever.
There's statues for him.
That sounds
statues for him.
Stephon Marbury is the greatest Chinese basketball player.
He's a basketball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, they love him. He's like their Jordan in China.
He is
amazing
indeed. He literally this is his last year. He's like just retired or is going to retire.
Shout out to Coney Island.
It's not a bad market to be good.
You know,
you're right.
It was about a year ago. I saw Stephon Marbury upstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's chilling.
He was having a meeting. He was like saying he's going back to China in a few months, whatever. I was like, wow, it's crazy.
You're Stephon Marbury.
I
was a hell of a high school basketball player. Shout out to the Lincoln Rail
Splitters. Hell of a basketball player in general, to be honest with you. 1975, as we continue back, happy birthday to Levon Hernandez, who says he was born in 1975. Yeah.
You never know, Jack.
It could have easily been 65.
Uh-huh.
Pitched a long time in Major League Baseball, 1975, he says. And then 1963, today, he was born... Sir Charles Barkley.
Oh, shout out to Chuck right there. What? Oh, man, I had another one for you, though.
What? Who?
Another birthday you missed.
Who?
30 years old today. Same age as you, Mr. Sussman.
Who's that?
Rihanna.
It's Riri's birthday?
It's Riri's birthday.
Happy birthday,
Bad
Rihanna.
Girl Riri.
86 million Twitter followers.
That's
Riri.
Crazy.
Yeah. We'll talk about Charles Barkley coming up on Roto Experts podcast a little bit.
Fantasy Sports Today.
A lot to unpack with J.D. Martinez. Nevertheless, what we can say, 2018, J.D. Martinez is a Boston Red Sox.
The Red Sox kind of really needed to make this move, and the contract works out where he's getting like $50 million up front. I know he wants to play the field, but at some point in the next couple of years, he might have to just become a DH. And the American League is just like perfect, and he'd be that perfect next guy up after Big Poppy.
He's going to be in a pretty good spot to put up some big numbers, so definitely a win for J.D. Martinez.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're back now, Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today Overtime is next. Corey Parson will take over this chair with Matt and Jake. I'll be back for the Road Extras podcast, which will be awesome. We're talking a lot about the NBA All-Star Weekend, event by event, and of course... get into the national anthem. All of that coming your way in about an hour from now. Road to Extras podcast or wherever and whenever you want to download the show. But for the next few minutes, it's Jake and I one-on-one. What's up, Jakey Jake?
What's going on, Greg?
Not much.
Please get into the national anthem.
We'll do that coming up in about an hour. Now, Jake, did you watch Monday Night Raw last evening?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
I thought it was a great start for the first 2 hours, and then after that...
Agreed. So let's ignore the third hour because it was whatever. But the first 2 hours were awesome, and I rarely get excited about wrestling, obviously, because I'm not as pessimistic as you, but I'm relatively pessimistic when it comes to it. But it was a really good first 2 hours.
No, they finally figured out. They're like, you know, the whole Ambrose situation getting hurt, that kind of killed the momentum,
yeah.
Obviously, in the tag team. But that they kind of waffled in between with the Jason Jordan nonsense, but thankfully that injury looks to be the best thing that happened to Rollins right now, because the past 2 weeks what they've been finally doing with him has been terrific, and what they did last night with him lasting for that over an hour for the first two. To be honest, as they were having that match, I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what? This would be more entertaining as a pay-per-view than the Elimination Chamber would be.
I was thinking the same thing, man.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, all right, he beats Reigns and Cena in the same night, and it meant nothing, ultimately. It meant nothing.
Right. So I was saying, like, as a pay-per-view, almost kind of like an Iron Man pay-per-view. It's just, you know, somebody, and they have the whole draw thing like they have with the lead-up to the Elimination Chamber, who's number one, and then it's similarly, you got, like, the tie-in to, you know, the Royal Rumble, like, oh, my God, who's going to be next? Who's going to be the seven? Or, you know, you could do, like, six, seven, eight guys on a pay-per-view that way.
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. I thought it was very, very exciting to have Rollins run the gauntlet and last over an hour, two really good matches, like with a half-hour match with Reigns, a half-hour match with Cena, and the Cena match, what they're doing with Cena is weird. Everybody kicks out of an AA. And if you get beat with one AA, you suck.
That's so true. It's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, he almost has to do that. He has to go to the top rope to get the top rope AA in order to, like, actually finish you with it. And actually, they flipped it around, which I understand. Like, I've always been a fan of kicking out of your own finisher if somebody uses it on you.
Same.
But the same thing. It's like, Rollins used it on him, and he kicks out. It's like, the AA
but I thought
anymore.
But that spot that you're talking about, the roll through where Rollins held him up, push him on the shoulders to the AA, that was so cool. That was so cool.
Going bananas. And that's what I'm saying. Is like that last night was the best thing they've done with Rollins in a long time.
Rollins.
Like probably at least a year or two.
Maybe ever. That was the best Seth Rollins looked ever, I'm willing to say. Yeah. He had a crowd in the palm of his hand. I mean, they were on their feet for the entire match with John Cena. And Rollins, even though they're calling it the stomp now instead of the curb stomp or the blackout, now just the stomp.
They got rid of blackout
they
now?
They got rid of blackout now. Now it's just the stomp. It was like, It's protected, right? Like, nobody's kicked out of that ever. And I think that's really, really cool. It was awesome. He was awesome. I'm pumped about it, man. Like, I went to bed last night. I had trouble sleeping because for whatever reason, I was hot. Whatever, I was just thinking of Rollins going nuts. It was awesome. I know I'm talking too fast. It sounds terrible, but I was really pumped about wrestling. I came in here very excited to talk to Frank Stample about it and talk to you about it. So this is really cool. Props to WWE. Hopefully they don't screw Rollins at WrestleMania and they give him a good match. Of course, the rumor is Kurt Angle. We'll see. I'd love to see the triple threat with him, Reigns, and Brock, kind of like we got 2 years ago. I think that would be really cool, but that won't happen.
Yeah, no, well, no. Unfortunately.
Whatever. All right, Jake will be back with Corey and Matt. I will not talk about any wrestling. We'll see what they talk about. I'm excited to find out. More FSC coming your way right after this. I'll see you guys in the Road Extras podcast.